You'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And then put a finger in Mark chapter 11. Matthew chapter 6. And then Mark chapter 11. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Turn over to Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've been merciful to give us another week on this earth. Plodding through in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We ask now, as we have been given a day of worship, that during this time of worship, you will use the preaching of your word, along with the singing and the praying and the reading of your word. May we now hear it preached. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, will you use the preacher and deal with the souls of the hearers, that your work will be done and accomplished according to your will and for your glory alone and nothing else. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. John took another step forward. The crunching sound pierced like lightning in a storm. Even worse than the sound, though, was the ice that was separating underneath his feet. Had he gone too far? Would he make it to the other side? Only God knew his very end. From a human perspective, this is exactly how I feel when addressing the idea of forgiveness as a way of life. Forgiveness as a way of life. Over months and in some cases years of reading and thinking through the topic of forgiveness from a biblical perspective, I feel like I'm walking on thin ice. The more I read the Bible on God's forgiveness towards sinners, the more I realize I struggle to respond to others with the forgiveness granted to me. So this morning, I will hopefully be plain and sometimes direct on this very subject. We may not even finish the subject this morning. But I'm not going to be direct or plain simply for plainness' sake. But I want you to press forward in Christ. I want each and every one of you to grow in the things of Christ. We say we love Christ. We say we have professed Christ. We say we follow Christ. Is it true? Is it really true? If so, then forgiveness ought to be a way of life. Is that not the life that the Lord Jesus himself led? Was a life of forgiving others? The one perfect, holy Son of God walking among sinful men and women. He could have, at a moment's notice, done away with it all. Yet did he not live a life of forgiveness? I have two main desires in mind this morning. I hope that you will all listen and learn to press forward in Christ. Pressing on toward our heavenward calling in Christ Jesus, that race that's set before us. But my second is, I hope the sin of an unforgiving spirit will not so easily entangle us. And I want to speak on that matter in three headings. Number one, recognize the two major biblical theological elements of forgiveness. Number one, recognize the two major biblical theological elements of forgiveness. The first and foremost biblical theological element of forgiveness is one that we've already discussed, and we discussed it early on. It's that of pardon. Pardon, which is the judicial element of forgiveness. In the two passages we read this morning, it speaks of forgiving, but it gives it in the context so that your Father who is in heaven will forgive you. There is a heavenly court which is at hand here. When we stand in that heavenly court of God for the charge of cosmic treason against Him, that which we spoke of last week, can you imagine that type of setting? All being brought before the one living holy God, and the charge against them is cosmic treason. You are treasonous toward the very creator of all heaven and earth. You have rebelled, you have caused mutiny, you have hated him from your very being. How will we fare? Who could stand before that court and make a credible plea that they were just and right before a holy God in their own works and merit? Who could do it? How would we fare? We would ultimately be found guilty. And being found guilty, how will we pay the penalty and the debt? Our Father who is in heaven has made a way. These thoughts and questions really cannot be asked enough in life. They just can't. Some people say they get tired of it. Some people say, oh, you Christians talk about the same stuff all the time. You're always talking about this thing and that thing and all that Jesus and on the cross and all that stuff, as though we should just get over it. I say this morning, you should never get over the essence of the gospel. It's the absolutely only hope you have. It's the only hope I have. Because we will stand before God one day. Every single person who has ever lived is living and will live on the face of this earth. There will be a judgment. And thankfully, there's a judicial element to forgiveness, and it's called pardon. Pardon. We must recognize the Lord himself declares that he will forgive their iniquity, his people in Jeremiah, and their sin will be remembered no more. That's a real genuine pardon, isn't it? If we're going to be standing before God in heaven, if we're going to have some picture of what forgiveness means in its context, and we're going to begin to look at it even more practically speaking in life on this earth, we have to recognize this element. Have we spoken of it previously? Yes. But it's good to be reminded. Psalm 86, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." No need to keep calling upon yourself. No need to call upon something else or someone else. But God Himself. Call to Him. This pardon is real, it's actual, it's true. And we are in need of it. The second major biblical or theological element of forgiveness is covering. Covering, which is the sacrificial element of forgiveness. Covering, which is the sacrificial element of forgiveness. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about a practical aspect to that covering. But last week, we dealt with it in the covenant context. We dealt with it in the context of the shedding of blood. There needed to be a covering in the shedding of blood itself. We began this series looking at a passage like Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Whose sin is covered. Do we need a covering of our sin? How's it to be covered? But the shed blood of Christ. Once that sin is covered, the psalmist says, "How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." It's not imputed to them because the sin has been covered. How in the world, according to Mark 11:25, may we stand praying and forgive and put a covering on the sin of another if we have not understood the covering of our own sin through the Lord Jesus Christ? How could we do it? Even as we spoke last week, and in previous weeks, the idea of Paul's writing, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." You're in need of God Himself in this cosmic court to have judicially forgiven you, but there needs to be a covering of that sin. And the covering of that sin is to impact all of our lives in how we treat others. Kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And a part of that forgiveness is the covering. The very shed blood of Christ. And we have to remember that these elements, that which is judicial and that which is sacrificial, there is one who has authority to handle both. And it's the very Son of God. We looked at the passage of the paralytic. And the scribes and Pharisees couldn't believe that the first thing he did for the paralyzed man was what? Tell him, "Your sins are forgiven." And we said, the Lord Jesus has authority. If you're going to be forced to be in this court charged with cosmic treason. You better hope there's someone who can plead your case who has authority. You better hope there's someone who can pay the debt and the penalty who has authority. The one who pays the debt and the penalty who has authority is the Lord Jesus. If we're trying to deal with the idea of forgiving others, we have to recognize these very basic principles. We have to recognize what Christ did is not only pertinent to eternity, but it's pertinent to everyday life. Now, thankfully, the eternal part of it is grand. It's on a grand scale we can't even fathom. You and I can't even imagine the cosmic treason that would put us before God in this heavenly court. We can't even fathom the heavenly court itself. And yet the Word, the Scripture gives us ideas of being brought before God, and yet we really can't even fathom it, can we? We can't even do anything with it. It's so grand, so immense, that we need someone of great immensity to deal with it. And it's the Lord Jesus Himself, the very Son of God. We remember the scribes and the Pharisees being so upset that the Lord Jesus could say, "Your sins are forgiven." But they didn't realize they were tangling with somebody that had greater authority than they could even imagine. It's like the little boy that wants to wrestle with his dad. You ever noticed these little boys, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, they want to wrestle with their dad? I can remember wrestling with my dad. He was 6'6", about 290, 300 pounds. It just didn't go that well. You know, dads can just take an arm, a hand. My dad could put his whole hand on my face and cover it. Boop. Just shove you away. Keep you there. These Pharisees, the mentality. Oh, we've got something to say. Who are you? We've got something in our minds to think. Who are you to forgive sins? And the Lord Jesus says, which is easier? To forgive these sins? Or to tell him to get up and walk. For the Lord Jesus, neither was an issue. Because he had authority and he had power. These have been the ideas that we've been going through for weeks. One text at a time, putting these things together. It's kind of like the ferry boat captain. He captains that double-end ferry. He probably thinks in his mind, going backwards is going forward. Can you imagine what it's like? Really, for us as Christians, it's just like that. Going backwards is going forward. Everything we do is going back into the truth of the Word. Time and time again, hearing very similar and same things being repeated, because that's the only way forward. So we've heard some of these things before, but we need it, don't we? We need the repetition, like the pianist needs to repeat the same piece over and over and over and over again. Certainly there is an occasional anomaly of a pianist who can just play anything and everything right off the top of their head after listening to it once or twice. But that's not the norm. The great ones repeat it over and over and over and over again. This is what we need in our lives. We need to recognize these two major biblical theological elements of forgiveness: pardon and covering. The covering of sin, the shed blood of Christ, paying the debt and the penalty, the pardon coming from God Himself in forgiveness, God the Father, taking our sin and putting it away. These elements need to be remembered over and over. Second, this morning, though, recognize the two major foundational mentalities of forgiveness. Recognize the two major foundational mentalities of forgiveness. First, forgive others as you have been forgiven by God the Father. Forgive others as you have been forgiven by God the Father. All the scripture that tells us about being forgiven by God in Christ applies to our mentality and attitude concerning forgiveness in daily life. All of these things we've been setting up, these major elements we've looked at from the scripture in different places and in different ways over weeks past, these foundational these theological elements are giving us a foundational mentality of how to look at forgiveness. We come to these texts this morning, Matthew 6, 14 and 15, and Mark 11, 25. Notice, there's a mentality here. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What is this setting up a mentality of, this idea that I have been forgiven, therefore I'm going to forgive others? Ephesians 4:32 that we looked at previously. Mark 11:25, he says, you know what? When you stand and pray, forgive. Why? The context is that you have been forgiven much, so you should forgive others. It's a mentality we ought to have. It ought to stay with us each and every day. If we're remembering the forgiveness of our sin, we're going to be more likely to understand the forgiveness that we need to put forward in our own minds to be able to forgive others. But sadly, even our self-centeredness sometimes puts us in a context to where we can turn the very gospel and understanding of forgiveness to be something that is self-centered in and of itself. But that's not the purpose of it. Now, down the road, we're going to deal with the ultimate purpose of forgiveness. But in this context, we have to see the purpose of forgiveness, one of them, from a practical level, is to have a mentality of forgiveness in our own life. You want to know why so many people live angry lives? They don't understand forgiveness from a biblical theological level, and they don't understand its foundational mentalities. If you spend time thinking about the actual pardon of God concerning your sin and the covering of your sin through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be developing a mentality of forgiveness in your life. But angry people don't do that, because angry people focus on themselves and what they want. Angry people think about anger. Angry people think about making people do things their way. That's the way angry people work. Some people walk around in total self-centeredness to the place that all they can think about is, I want it my way. Now, in a sense, we all will struggle with that in some points. We have to recognize the mentality of forgiveness here is put together in the context of us forgiving others based on our understanding of being forgiven by God the Father. Do we remember the parable that we dealt with just a couple of weeks ago? The Lord Jesus being asked by Peter how many times to forgive? 70 times 7 was Jesus' answer. And then Jesus gave a parable of a king who forgave one of his servants a great debt. What we said would basically equal between $400 and $800 million in today's money. I can't really fathom that, can you? And that debt was forgiven, put away. And yet the servant went on to deal harshly with someone who owed him far less. And the king sent him to the torturers. This person had apparently not understood forgiveness on a very base level. I know it's a parable, and we're not trying to calculate what was in the mind of a figure in a parable. But the outworking of that tells you this person had not really, really understood forgiveness on a very base level. Had not really understood those biblical elements and the foundational mentalities. That which had been done to him, he had not thought about it enough that he could then reproduce it to someone else. Part of our lives as Christians is growing up. Doesn't mean we'll be perfect. None of us is. This is why I told you that I felt like I'm walking on thin ice in discussing the subject. I've recognized places in my own life that I don't have all this together. I'm not even close to it. But that shouldn't mean that it shouldn't be dealt with, that it shouldn't be discussed, it shouldn't be preached. The point of preaching is not to show you what all I have done. The point of preaching is to show you what God has done through His Son Christ by the power of the Spirit. There is an actual base level that ought to produce a mentality in us dealing with forgiveness. And it has a reciprocative nature. Secondly, forgive others as though your forgiveness depends upon God the Father. Forgive others as though your forgiveness depends upon God the Father. In these two passages, there was a heavenly context that we noted earlier, bringing us back to the very elemental biblical things that we had talked about. But notice here, when we're dealing with the foundational mentalities of forgiveness, look at the ideas in the text. Matthew 6:15 and Mark 11:25 both have these elements. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. We need to be about forgiving others as though our forgiveness depends upon God the Father. Does this mean if we do not forgive others that we will lose our salvation? No. No. No, it means you will probably endure greater trials and struggles in life as you are handed over to the torturers. You remember the parable, right? They were handed over to the torturers. It wasn't as if God gave them over in the sense of complete lostness. But when we don't forgive others, we bring strife and struggle for ourselves. You know why? Because all of the issues of life continue to compound. When we cannot forgive others, whatever anger, frustration, hurt, difficulty that we have, whatever malice we might have towards someone, it compounds because we're continuing to allow it to boil over. It's not that you will lose your salvation, but you will bring greater problems and strife for yourself. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you just absolutely love a life of struggle and strife and think it's just a great place to be 24/7? I don't want you to raise your hands for fear that there might be one person who did. That can't be a joyful place. That can't be enjoyable. And yet, if we say we're Christians and we continue in a life of not forgiving others, all we're doing is compounding our own anger, frustration, hurt. We're compounding our own sin. This is really the problem of the world. The world never actually lives in a place of forgiveness because the world really has no peace. And so the world is a place that ultimately can end up as a place of rage, chaos. It doesn't mean that everyone has been perfect. It doesn't mean that everyone has handled anything or everything perfectly. But we have to learn as believers to forgive each other, or we are no better than the world. And we have to learn as believers to grow in forgiving those around us, or we will only live like the world. People who are constantly built upon their hurt, their anger, and their frustration, having it compound in their minds day in and day out, and therefore most of them live life that way. If we were to go back and look once again at Galatians and see all of the sin of the flesh that Paul dealt with in Galatians chapter 5, and then look at the fruit of the Spirit, don't you see in the fruit of the Spirit an element of forgiveness? That coworker that you just can't seem to get along with, can you forgive them? That spouse that continues to have that mentality that causes struggle and strife, can you forgive them? That friend, that family member, if Christ has forgiven you, paid the debt, and God the Father has forgiven you, shouldn't you have a mentality to forgive others? Forgive others as though your forgiveness depends upon God the Father. No, you're not losing your salvation, but sadly, if you continue in a way like this, not only will you have strife and struggle, but sadly, there are those that show themselves never to have been believers anyway. That's really one of the elements of the Hebrews writer. Someone was around those things of the Spirit. They witnessed it. They saw it. They may have even taken part in it in some way. And yet in their life, they never really elementally or in mentality understood forgiveness. Does that mean you forget everything everybody's ever done to you? No. No. But it does mean you learn to move through it in a different way. Sadly, too many times we want to look for all of these signs of Christian growth and things that don't really matter. When there are very foundational principles and mentalities of the Christian life that ought to be a part of who we are. And one of them foundationally is forgiveness. This morning you might say, well, Brandon, you just don't know what somebody's put me through. You're right, I don't. I really don't know. I don't know what all you've been through. I don't know what's gone through your mind. Thankfully, you don't know what's gone through my mind either. But I tell you this, the God that you and I will stand before one day, He knows everything. He knows it all. And it's high time for us to turn to Him and really understand what it means to be forgiven, that it would cultivate a mentality of forgiveness. Next week, I want to cover two major consequential activities of forgiveness. But I'm going to leave this here because I want us to really think about cultivating this mentality. Spending time in the Word. These passages this morning are very short, but they ought to be things we take to heart. Have you ever read something that just ought to stop you for a moment, like this passage? Like Matthew 6, 14 and 15? I say go home this afternoon and think about reading the Word of God, that it would begin to cultivate a mentality of forgiveness in your own life. I know people have caused you great stress and strife. But Christ bore our sin. Christ put our sin away. Can we not cultivate a mentality of putting away the transgressions of others? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, You've been gracious beyond compare to us. We are weak-minded people, even as believers, yet we are thankful for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, would You use Your Holy Spirit according to Your will, that He would work in our lives, that we would learn and grow in understanding the forgiveness that has been granted to us by You, through the work of Your Son. May the Holy Spirit please, Lord, deal with our souls according to these truths, that we would live like our life depended on it. We praise You for Your mercy to us and Your grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.